Cool Tech, October 5, 2006.
Blind Cool Tech, where fun.
Well, I wanted to play with podcast stuff. Okay.
Technology.
Cool. Is anybody there?
And blindness.
Ah, God! Who put that wall there?
Can all come together.
Hey y'all, how you doing? I'm Larry Skidcon, your host for this edition of Blind Cool Tech. In case you're new to this podcast, we often take about a 40-minute walk. We're here in Louisville, Kentucky, down Frankfort Avenue from my work at American Printing House for the Blind, where I'm a technology project leader in the research department, to my house. Leaving work a little early today, I came in about an hour and a half early so I could get home to meet a guy who is doing some repair work on my house. Had a leak in the roof, and he's repaired the ceiling and is going to paint it this afternoon. And it is a gorgeous day. I think since the last time I've talked to you all, we've had the leaves starting to fall. You can probably hear them crunching underfoot. I am, by the way, recording this on the Edirol R09 using the Innovative Specialist binaural microphones, which hook over your ears. I've loaned my favorite Church Audio mics to Barbara Henning, who came by for a walk and a visit a few days ago and just had a great time with her. We actually went to Walmart and purchased the talking microwave oven, which is one of the things I really want to talk with you all about today. We've got a lot to talk about. I really need to get on here more often. I've had such internet troubles this week, though, that and last week. Well, between, I don't know if we've got a hacker on our website. I think we do. It's trying to give us one of these denial of service attacks. So they just, you know, flood the site with so many requests that when somebody legitimate tries to use it, they get a, you know, you can go to the website fine, just people have been having trouble downloading the MP3 files. And I apologize that I could not respond individually to every one of you.
Are you a far-eye son?
Every one of you who had sent me an email, but there were literally hundreds, if not thousands, of emails, and I just, you know, if you have this kind of trouble, I do appreciate you dropping me a note. I think the best thing you can do, though, is just try again later. You know, I had the shame of it is there's a lot of new people. There always seems to be a few new people that are trying things for the first time, and when something like that happens with them, it's especially frustrating to them and to me. So hopefully we've got most of that under control. If not, bear with us. We may have to just go back to, well, I don't know what we're going to do. I was thinking we may have to go back to rmedia.org, but as we talked before, someone really wants to bring you down. There's not a lot you can do about it. I mean, there's some safety precautions, and you can tighten things down so tight that, you know, it's tough to get into. Which brings up another topic, the email list. Gosh, last night, I don't know if this is some spoofing or emotions just got out of control or whatever, but started to see some kind of ugly racial slurs and things that are just not associated with intelligent, caring people. So, you know, if you get frustrated, don't slam the list, the person on the list. You know, just step back from the keyboard. You don't have to answer everything. I don't want to ban anybody from the list. Especially, you know, email is not a secure thing, and we have to realize that there could be some spoofing going on. There could be some emotions getting out of hand. I think the list has been a very valuable resource, especially for new people and getting questions answered and providing information. But, you know, we may just have to, you know, move to a sort of a forum-based thing where, you know, you would have a message board. And I know those aren't nearly as easy to read accessibility-wise or convenient. And, you know, there again, you have the trade-off between security and ease of use. It's like if you live in a major metropolitan area, you have to lock the doors to your house when you leave. It's a lot more convenient for you not to have to carry a key with you or to have to worry about unlocking the door. This, by the way, is an accessible traffic signal you're hearing here. I'm crossing Frankfort Avenue now. So let's please try to calm down on the list. I don't want to ban anybody. And in fact, you know, the truth of the matter is you can't ban anybody. They could just sign back up under another name. We just have to cooperate. And I know people get their kicks out of dropping a bombshell or, you know, doing something outrageous and watching the reactions. But, you know, that's kind of child's play. Find somewhere else to do that, you know. All right. Couple of things I want to talk to you about today. Rick Harmon did a great job of reviewing the new Hamilton Beach talking microwave. And I was intrigued with this, as many of you have been. So I had a chance to go out to our local Walmart and look at one. And I've debated whether we should get one or not. We talked about it at work, and there's five of us blind guys there that decided, you know, we'll just split the cost of it if we wanted to get one, and it'd only be, I think we came up with 16 apiece. So that wasn't bad. You know, we had a perfectly fine working microwave. But this one, I don't remember if Rick mentioned this or not, but part of the beauty of this, in addition to the fact that it talks, is that the buttons, the controls, are very ergonomically designed, excuse me. So not only are they grouped in logical ways, they have different shapes, different spacing, and perhaps most important of all, you can feel them. They're not flush with the panel of the microwave. And anyone that looks at this microwave is totally impressed by its rather space-age look. So it's definitely nothing to be ashamed of if you're the type that would be ashamed of a microwave oven. Now, I guess part of the reason I couldn't get too excited until we saw this thing, and Barbara convincingly persuaded me to go ahead and purchase it. Part of the issue is that personally, I'm just not a big microwave person. You know, I'm the kind of person that hits 555 starts and then just gets the, checks on the food every couple of minutes. And primarily that was partially because I just never really used the microwave, never took the time to learn the buttons. And, my microwave at home, it had the kind of buttons that you could feel the little indentation in the flat control area. So, I often had trouble finding where the start and the clear were. Eventually I'd get to them. It just was not a convenient thing to do. But with this Hamilton Beach model, there's six buttons down the side. The first five are 1 through 5 minutes. And then the sixth one is a time cook. And, you can feel each one of them. They're very easily tactually distinguishable. If you want 30 seconds, you just hit the middle of the dial. There's a little dial, as Rick pointed out, to let you select presets. And hitting the middle of that adds 30 seconds. And if you don't have anything, just hitting the middle gives you 30 seconds right off the bat. We just stopped to let Jake have a little pit stop there. Good boy, little buddy. Jake, by the way, is my guide dog from the Seeing Eye in Morristown, New Jersey. And he is a good one. He's a good boy. I've had him a little over 2 years now. And I forget what a lummox he is. I was in today talking with one of our vice presidents at APH, Gary Mudd. He has a guide dog named Denver. And I was looking at Denver's, I was petting Denver on the head, and Denver is, he must be half the size of Jake. I keep forgetting what a big brute old Jake buddy is here. Anyway. So, we get this microwave, and by the way, we didn't realize it till we were getting the box out of the car that the box actually has a little button on it that talks as well. It says something to the effect of, "Hi, I'm Timo. You're talking microwave. Take me home." And the microwave both speak in English and in Spanish. You can switch the language on the microwave. But I have, I was so impressed with the microwave at work, good boy, that I went ahead and went back to Walmart and bought one for home, even though mine at home worked perfectly fine as well. And I have, I must say, I have enjoyed the freedom and flexibility. And actually, for the first time in my life, I'm using a microwave the correct way. And I've cooked a few meals in it. There's, as Rick pointed out, there's a few things this could do that would be a lot better. One thing, it would be nice to be able to tell what the remaining time is. Most of it you can use, though. Well, pretty much all of it. The kitchen timer, it doesn't speak each number as you set it, but you can count the clicks, and it's not too bad. And it's, of course, it does let you know when the time is up. Good boy, little buddy. Boy, you have to apologize me. Breathing hard here. I have had a cold for the last, probably a week and a half. I could feel it coming on for a week. And I guess just day before yesterday, I really, it hit me. I mean, the coughing up, the sinuses all clogged up. And it's yuck. Just a terrible feeling. It's this really is the first good cold I've had since I've quit smoking, and I can't imagine. Well, I guess not smoking hadn't been as big a deal as I had first thought it would be. But I can tell you one thing, I am so glad to be off that nicotine, and I will. I told you last time I was going to tell you the book that I read that really got me off the nicotine, and I had quit with this method last year, and some reason started back up, but I'm not starting back up this time. It's nice to be off the addiction. The book I read is called Alan Carr is the author, Easy Way to Stop Smoking. And one of his things is, you know, you're not quitting smoking, you're stopping. Because quitting implies something that, you know, you're quitting something that you want to do. Stopping is just stopping. You know, you realize that what you're dealing with is an addiction to nicotine. And, you know, nicotine, you lose about half of your fix, I guess you could say, about every hour, which explains why people pretty much smoke 20 cigarettes or so per day. Here comes a train. And, you know, S. Alan Carr brings up some fascinating points and some interesting facts. Fact, you know, for instance, there's not a person on earth that ever chose to be a smoker. You know, who would, for God's sake? Everyone, without exception, gets caught up in the addiction. And, you know, the signs of the withdrawal are that need to have more nicotine. And, you know, if you don't have the need in the first place, you don't ever have the withdrawal. And he makes a great analogy to, you know, the person who wears tight shoes just so they can have the relief of taking those shoes off. So, you know, if you don't wear the tight shoes in the first place, you don't need the relief. And that's been a great way to think about the addiction. And, you know, I'll be the first to admit the first 3 or 4 days were tough. You know, there's a few moments there when it was a little rough. The first 2 or 3 days, you know, the withdrawal symptoms, as Alan Carr points out, are very similar to, are very similar to hunger pains. So they're not that bad a withdrawal. Good boy, Thorn. Yeah, say little buddy. They're not bad withdrawal symptoms, but you need to recognize what they are. So anyway, I'm ecstatic to be off the nicotine. I actually have got a great sniffer already. I love good smells, good aromas. Lynette and I have both done little casts on different aromas. Like right now, I kind of actually smell a little rain in the air. But One of the things I found since I did quit smoking is I have quite a bit more energy, and I've been trying to find some useful and productive and constructive things to do with this extra energy besides hanging around in the bars at night. And one of the things I've been looking into a little bit is, yoga and Tai Chi both. I think I had mentioned to you guys I had done Taekwondo back when I lived in Texas, and I really enjoyed that. And one of the things that we did in Taekwondo was stretching. I don't recall that it was required, but it was a supplemental thing that was really helpful to relax your muscles and stretch them, and get more flexibility in your hips and your shoulders. And from the little bit of studying I've done with primarily books I've downloaded from Bookshare about yoga, I've also ordered a couple of how-tos from Netflix, is that yoga is very, a big part of it is breathing and stretching. Found a couple of good books at Audible, in fact, on the topic. So I remember there was a yoga class instruction here on Frankfort Avenue somewhere. I couldn't remember where it was. Turns out it's right over there, pretty close to APH. So it's really been handy. But I think even more interesting is what I really wanted to do was the Tai Chi. Honestly, don't know why. I think it was just because I had done it before, and I had done it just through a book as well, so it was no formal training. But I found a class at the Clifton Center, which is a neighborhood, used to be a school, and now they hold continuing education kind of things there. So there just happens to be a class that starts next Monday. Starts at, I thought, at 5:30 in the evening, which I thought had been perfect. Could take your time getting off of work, and the walk is about halfway between my work and my home, and just a block or two out of the way. So it was just the ideal situation. So I'm going to try that next Monday. This group is the Taoist Tai Chi Society, and the instructors are all volunteers. You pay, I believe they suggest $40 a month, which is not bad. And I pay more than that for bowling, and I do get lots of enjoyment out of bowling. But these classes meet once a week, and they say actually you can attend as many classes as you want, but once a week ought to be enough to get a good start. And while these books I read have been enough to really get you the flavor of what this is all about, I think the personal instruction would kind of get the techniques probably more correct. So I'll keep you on posted on how all that goes. I'm really looking forward to it. And I've already started some stretching. I found a book called Yoga for Dummies, and I wish I could find the Tai Chi book that I was using a few years back, but it's not in Bookshare. As far as I can tell, there's one book about Tai Chi and Bookshare, and I think it's not scanned that great. Well, actually, the same way with this Yoga for Dummies. There seems to be a couple of steps missing and so forth. It's enough to get an idea. But I think some, instruction with a trainer will be outstanding. The other thing I wanted to talk with you guys about today is Lodestone GPS for your Nokia cell phone running either Tox or mobile speak. Symbian-based Nokia phones or other phones running Symbian. Just going by the coffee shop here, I must say, I have got too much to talk to you guys about. We've got our annual meeting next. Good boy, Jake. Jake looks over. What is that, a dog or something? Oops, guess we better hold it. We're at Bailey and lights going the other way. I was walking by the coffee shop the other night and there's a couple, older couple, I won't say elderly, retired. I go, hey there, neighbor. And I stopped and it was the people that live next door to Brian and Dana. The folks on the other side of me from who I now lovingly call Nurse Ratchet. But Brian and Dana are a young couple that just got married that live in the rent house to my, that would be south of me. And these people live on the other side of Brian and Dana, and we were talking, and the woman goes, I'm so envious of your clothesline. And I had to laugh because I had been wanting to put a clothesline up just for the, just to have the good smell and to conserve energy and take care of your clothes better. Just the good feel and the good smell of having sun-dried clothing. But I thought, oh, my neighbors are going to really think I've gone off the deep end or think this is going to kind of hokey, because I've actually got my clothesline tied from the porch in the... There's a bedroom in the back that has its own exit, and I can actually walk under the top of the porch rail, so this turned out to be just right. So the clothesline is from the porch rail to the a bush, a rose of Sharon, almost a tree in my backyard, and then I've got a branch and it's sort of in the middle to prop it up when it gets pretty heavy. One thing I realized is pretty quickly is wet clothes are very heavy. So, I've been thoroughly enjoying this clothesline. Been using it a couple of months now. And as I was kind of looking around about different ways to put up a clothesline, I realized on the, searching the net, there's a lot of communities that actually have banned outdoor clotheslines. Thinking, just what I was talking about earlier, that it's tacky looking and so forth. It's not really, though. I realized that I would need more clothesline than what I have if it was more than just my clothes involved. I've just got one line, probably about 40 feet, and that pretty well... A week's worth of my clothes will pretty well fill that up. And I've refined my process a little. I don't think my mom did this when we were kids, but what I'll do is take the clothes out of the washer and go ahead and throw the little stuff, underwear and socks, into the dryer. I just started doing that. In fact, the first time I hung the clothes outside, Marley comes out back and she's like, Pappy, what do you have hanging? Your shirts and your pants and your underwear. She was so surprised. But I've since started putting the socks and the underwear in the dryer just for a very short amount of time. Just because they're, you know, they're so small and it's easy to drop them. I don't know how I'm going to ultimately end up on that aspect of it, but I've actually started, once I get those in there, I'll take a basket and go grab some hangers and just put the shirts right on the hangers and the hanger on the clothesline so that when they do dry, they're ready to be hung up in the closet. And then the pants, I don't even use clothespins. I'll fold them with the crease and just lay them over the line. And they dry just fine like that. And they're pretty much folded and ready to be put on the shelf at that point. I mean, you could put those on hangers too if you wanted to. I don't generally keep my pants on hangers. So works out great. And, you know, if you had more clothesline, it probably actually would be faster than the dryer. You wouldn't have to wait on the dryer because the wash cycle is quite a bit shorter than the time it takes to dry a load of clothes. So yeah, the clothesline's been very nice. I thoroughly enjoy it, and I like getting out there early in the morning. You know, nice and quiet. Just me and the dogs and the birds. And hanging up the clothes. Another thing I did realize, though, is you really need to watch your weather. I washed clothes one Saturday, wasn't checking the weather, and it was kind of raining all day. So I kind of left them until Sunday. But you really have to have a backup or something, because there's going to be times when you're not going to have good enough weather to hang your clothes up for a few days. Lodestone-GPS.com. If you haven't checked this out and you have a Nokia Symbian-based phone, Symbian being the name of the operating system that runs on the phone, you really should. You will need a GPS receiver. I borrowed a Bluetooth GPS receiver from Mario, and I ran down my battery trying to get all this stuff going on it, so I haven't had a chance to play with it much, but I saw Mario using it the other day on the way to the bowling alley. And what this is, it's not like the commercial GPS systems where you can, you know, be driving down the road and McDonald's on your left, and, you know, a Speedway gas station on the right, 20 feet. It pretty much just gives you intersections and addresses, and, you know, what intersections are nearby. I think that's probably going to be adequate for my needs. I'll know a lot more here in just a day or two as I play with this. But I'll be sure and come back with you and, you know, get you some more detailed information on that. Really looking forward to it. Mario was showing me a little bit today, and we were actually in the building, and the receiver was picking up 7 satellites, and giving us intersections and how far they were in what direction. So it was very cool. I'm, again, really looking forward to playing with it. The data for your city, you have to download and sort of compile on your phone. And I haven't been through that process on my phone yet, but I'll let you guys know how easy or successful that is as soon as I figure out how to do it myself. Let's see, I was telling you we're having our annual meeting next week, and one of the guys, one of our keynote speakers is Mike Heeman, who if you will recall is the guy that was the blind guy that was in one of the towers in the World Trade Center on September 11th, 2001, and walked down 70 some odd flights of stairs with his guide dog. So I'm hoping to get a chance to chat with him. I know Marlena has interviewed him either on her podcast or on her ACB radio program. But I'm going to interview him again anyway. He's an interesting guy to talk to. He is a Bookport user, so I've talked with him a few times. And he seems to be like a bunch of us on Blind Cool Tech, kind of a technology junkie. So really looking forward to chatting with him and seeing, well, actually several other people who I really only get to see once a year or so. I know Mike Coleman is one of our trustees from California. He'll be coming in. I always look forward to chatting with him. This is the first year I'm actually not going to be at most of the annual meeting, though. My uncle's 80th birthday is next Sunday, so I'm actually leaving on Friday. I'm going to fly to Omaha, and my sister is going to, and her husband are flying in from Corpus Christi to Omaha, and they're going to rent a car, and we're going to drive down to Crete, Nebraska, which is pretty close to Lincoln. It's just cheaper to fly into Omaha than it is to Lincoln. So, yeah, this has been a funny year like that. I actually had a 4th of July vacation or a day off this year because I didn't go to any of the conventions. And next year I'm actually going to have Martin Luther King Day off. Usually that's during ATIA convention, but next year it's not. So, wow, I'm going to get used to having all these days off. Well, we have to arrive at the Pleasant View Manor, and we will bring this show to an end. Thoroughly, as always, enjoyed talking with you all. You all have a great day. Let's stay calm on the email list, okay, guys? All right. Y'all take care. Good talking with you. Good morning, buddy.
You've been listening to Blind Cool Tech. Visit us on the web at blindcooltech.com. Our email address is blindcooltech@gmail.com, and our comment line is 206-984-9203.
Fred, you stink.